and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Tonight we discuss capital punishment, death penalty. Christians line up, I imagine they have, for some time on both sides of the death penalty debate, whether it's been legalized or illegal, wherever it has been. Some Christians say God requires the death penalty. He requires that human governments have certain crimes punishable by death. They say, look at the Old Testament, look at ancient Israel. God even prescribed the death penalty for certain crimes and certain sins. And so we should, too, to be godly nations and godly governments. Other Christians, with equal fervor, say, no, God forbids the death penalty. In particular, Jesus says, turn the other cheek, love your enemies, do not repay evil with evil. And so they line up on the other side of the debate. Now, regardless of where you line up, stay tuned tonight as we talk about the death penalty. We're going to walk through some of the most famous and oft-quoted passages regarding the death penalty and see what God does and doesn't have to say about capital punishment. Our guest tonight, Dr. David Adams, you're invited to join the conversation as well. We're coming to you live this Sunday night, July the 30th, and I'd love to hear from you on the death penalty. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727, and our in-studio email address is issuesetc@kfuo.org. Anyone who calls in or emails tonight on the death penalty will get a pamphlet on capital punishment, 1-800-730-2727, or issuesetc@kfuo.org. Dr. David Adams is a regular guest. He joins us here in Studio A tonight to talk about the death penalty. He's Associate Professor of Old Testament at Concordia Seminary here in St. Louis and author of the forthcoming Concordia Commentary on Genesis. Dr. Adams, welcome back.
Great to be with you again tonight.
All right, let's start with one side and one passage, and that would be Genesis 9:6. I'll read it here in just a second, but some Christians say this is the open and shut case. God requires the death penalty. Here's the passage from Genesis 9:6. Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed, for in the image of God he made man. Genesis 9:6. Does this require the death penalty?
No, actually it doesn't. There are several things about this text that are worth noting. First, technically this text is not about the death penalty per se. God says, for your lifeblood I will require a reckoning. This is what God requires, not what God demands that civil society require. So this is about what God does, not what about God requires us to do. God demands justice for human life that has been destroyed, just as God demands justice for any sin. But that's God's justice that God will require. So he says, for your lifeblood, I will require a reckoning. The second thing here is that this is not spoken to or about civil government at all. So the question of civil government and what the state requires is not being addressed here. It's about what God does. And the third thing to note about it is this can't be about capital punishment per se in the narrow sense, because God also here requires a reckoning for the shedding of blood by animals. And so, you know, this is not dealing with human crimes against humans only, but about any blood. The lesson to be learned here, what this text does teach us, is that God cares about human life, that God treasures it, that God protects it and honors it, and expects us to do the same. So this is very much a, if you will, a pro-life passage about how much God cares and values human life. But it's not, in the narrow sense, a text about the death penalty. Now, it has something to say about the death penalty. I mean, it is a text that's worth discussing in this regard, but you can't say that it requires it.
Okay, then on the other side, another passage famously from Jesus, our Savior, who on the other side, they would say, Jesus says, love your enemies, turn the other cheek, and does that forbid the death penalty? Is our Lord there forbidding civil governments carrying out capital punishment for certain crime?
No, it does not. And again, for many of the same reasons. Jesus is talking to his people about what they should be and about what their attitude of heart should be. He's not there addressing the issue of civil society and what civil government must do or may do. God tells me, as one of his followers, that I should forgive and turn the other cheek. Now, that may shape the way that I think about what I would like my society to be, but it doesn't require or forbid civil government from executing those who are guilty of heinous crimes.
Okay, then very briefly, before we go on to some of the other passages, Old Testament and New Testament, Dr. Adams, if the often quoted passage from Genesis 9:6 does not require, as many Christians say it does, the death penalty, and if the often quoted sayings of Jesus, such as turn the other cheek, love your enemies, do not repay evil for evil, do not, as many Christians contend, forbid the death penalty, what does God have to say on capital punishment?
Well, I'll give you the 5-second answer, then maybe we can explore it. I think what the Bible teaches about the death penalty is that it is a regrettable necessity in a fallen world. Something like divorce. God hates divorce. In the beginning, it was not so, the Scripture says. And yet, God allowed his people in the Old Testament to divorce. That doesn't mean that he approved of it. It doesn't mean that Christians should engage in divorce. Actually, that's sort of contradictory, engagement and divorce. But you know what I mean. But it doesn't mean that civil society cannot prohibit it either. So I think the parallel between the death penalty and divorce is about as close as you can get to a similar idea. This is something that's bad, but it may be a regrettable necessity in a fallen world.
Would it be safe to say that God permits civil government to exercise capital punishment under certain circumstances, but does not require civil government to exercise the capital punishment?
I think that's a very good characterization. There are some passages to support that we can look at along the way. So, yes, like divorce, civil society may, if it chooses, exercise the sword, as the New Testament says. It should do that, at least if from the Christian perspective, the way Christians ought to think about the death penalty, is that it should be done as a means of preserving the gift of life that God has given. That is to say, we should only take the step of executing those when it's necessary to prevent an even greater loss of life. And so that would be one thing that as Christians we ought to think. And as I said, we should take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, just as God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked, as he says in Ezekiel 18, verse 32. Last thing I think, just by way of summary, is that those Christians who favor capital punishment have to be committed to working to ensure that it's properly administered, because particularly in our society today, there are serious questions about the way capital punishment is being administered, whether it's always being administered justly. And I think if you believe that capital punishment is acceptable, then you also have to be committed to work to ensure that it's administered in a just way.
We're talking about capital punishment tonight on Issues Etc. Dr. David Adams is our guest. I want to hear from you, and this break is a great time to call on the death penalty. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. We also have an in-studio email address. We get that email right here during our conversation, and we can respond to it in real time. issuesetc@kfuo.org. This is Issues Etc. coming to you live this Sunday night. It's July the 30th. Do you agree that God's word neither demands nor forbids the death penalty? but merely permits it to be justly administered, 1-800-730-2727, or issues ETC at KFUO.org. Well, when we come back, again on the case for the death penalty, what do we do with these Old Testament passages? The famous one, of course, is an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, wound for wound, life for life, and the fact that God prescribed capital punishment for certain crimes in ancient Israel. We'll talk about that after this. Dr. Jeff Gibbs of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis about why you should support LCMS World Relief.
There is such dire need. Americans are so parochial. We just think about ourselves. We were in Germany last year. The news is international, and you come back to the United States, and all we think about is ourselves. See? But the world is God's world, and God's compassion needs to go out. And LCMS World Relief is one of the great ways that people can actually take what they have and share it with tsunami victims and people starving to death, and they can do it knowing that it will be shared in the name of Christ. Christ will be glorified in LCMS World Relief, and that's why we should support it.
For more information about LCMS World Relief, go to our website, issuesetc.org, and look on the homepage for their logo, or call them at 314-996-1683. 314-996-1683.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Pro-life leader Dr. Lawrence White on why you should support Issues, Etc.
In a culture that has forgotten about the truth of God, God's people need to stand upon His Word firmly and faithfully. Issues, Etc. raises the questions that are in discussion in our society and in our church today in a way that highlights the truth of God amid all the error and the falsehood of men. This is a program that is making a difference in our society, in our church, in our culture, to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues, Etc. by making a tax-deductible gift this week. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Or you can make a credit card donation by calling our resource line at 1-800-737-0172.
Well, you know, the St. Louis Post-Dispatch had a major story just today in the paper on the battle over embryonic stem cell research here in Missouri. Big, big subject nowadays in Missouri. Now, one of the individuals quoted in the story in the Post-Dispatch was Maggie Carner of LCMS Life Ministries. LCMS Life Ministries is an outreach of LCMS World Relief. LCMS World Relief does more than just, believe it, they actually do more than the many things they already do, helping victims of natural and man-made disasters. LCMS World Relief is committed to defending life from beginning to end. To find out more about their work around the world, just look for their logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, or you can support LCMS World Relief and earmark a donation for LCMS Life Ministries by calling 1-888-930-4438, 1-888-930-4438, Christ-centered, cross-focused, LCMS World Relief. We're talking about the death penalty. Dr. David Adams is our guest. Back to the Old Testament, territory where you feel rather comfortable here, Dr. Adams. The famous passage, of course, is an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, etc. And that is often coupled by those who argue for a divine prescription of the death penalty with the fact that God does prescribe the death penalty as a just penalty in ancient Israel for certain crimes. Some of them nowadays we would consider to be not even crimes, like adultery and things like that. How do you respond to that argument that God was, when he was writing the laws for ancient Israel, included a death penalty?
Well, I do want to take a look at some of the instances for which God prescribes a death penalty in the Old Testament. But let's deal with the eye for an eye and and so forth first. By the way, I'm glad you raised this point because lurking in the scenes behind this discussion that never really quite gets on the table is that this is a prime example of an issue about which Christians struggle because they're unclear of the relationship between the Old and New Testaments and how to relate the two Testaments to one another. And so, therefore, the tendency is sort of to take the what God says to Israel and apply it directly to the state today, as if the state today were the analog or the, you know, the successor to the state of Israel. That's a different discussion that maybe we don't have time to get into at this point. Maybe we can come back to it in the second hour if we have a little more time. But let's at least deal with the eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth passage. In Exodus chapter 21, verse 23 and following, God says, "If there is harm, then you shall pay life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, wound for wound, stripe for stripe." Well, a couple of things here. First, if you really believe that this passage requires the death penalty, then you also have to take all the other examples in the passage. So if someone causes an injury that puts out someone's eye, then you have to also put out that person's eye. So if you're really going to make that argument on this passage, then you have to at least be consistent and apply the entire passage. But even so, if you do that, you're interpreting this passage wrongly. And here's why. This text, which in technical circles is known as the lex talionis, the law of retribution. This is a principle of justice in the ancient world. And what this text is about is what we today might call proportional justice. It's saying the punishment should fit the crime. And the point of the passage is not to say that if someone causes a life, that you must take their life. The point of the passage is to say that the punishment cannot exceed the crime. So if someone knocks a tooth out, you can't take their life for that. The most you can do is knock their tooth out in response.
It's a law that limits,
yes,
the extent of the punishment for any given crime.
That's correct. That's what the lex talionis is about in the Old Testament. It prevents, especially, remember, this is directed at a society and at a world where there are some people who are very powerful, like kings and nobles, and other people who are basically powerless. And there is a tendency in fallen human nature that you may have noticed that some people, when they're in positions of power, like to exert that power. And if someone irritates them or harms them in some way, they want to take maximum vengeance against them. And this passage is aimed at protecting the helpless and the weak against the powerful by saying the system of laws must be based on this notion of proportional justice, that the punishment should fit the crime, that it can't, that the punishment cannot be excessive. So this doesn't require a tooth for a tooth or an eye for eye. It limits the punishment for, you know, for putting out someone's eye.
Okay, then how do we deal with the several instances in ancient Israel where God, by divine inspiration through Moses, is prescribing the death penalty for certain crimes? Some of them that we would not consider to be, we would consider them to be sins, but not civil crimes or criminal actions today.
Right. Well, let's first just, and we won't maybe stop to read all the passages, mm-hmm. but let's at least take a quick survey at those things for which God institutes the death penalty in the Old Testament. I hope I can get them all in here. I may miss one, but I try to get them all. The first and most obvious one is punishment for taking a life, and that one. Exodus 21, verse 12, whoever strikes a man so that he dies shall be put to death. Pretty straightforward there. There are some variations for what we would today call manslaughter instead
accidental
of murder,
death,
accidental
yeah.
death, but we won't take time to go into those. The first category, then, is punishment for taking a life, particularly intentionally taking a life. Interestingly, and here's an example of one that the kind you were talking about. Another category of things for which God requires the death penalty is disrespect of parents. So, Exodus 21, verse 15, for example, whoever strikes his father or mother shall be put to death. Whoever curses, verse 17 of Exodus 21, whoever curses his father or mother should be put to death. Again, Leviticus 20, verse 9, anyone who curses his father or mother should be put to death. Deuteronomy 21:18 and following, if a rebellious or stubborn son should be put to death, if the father rebukes and tries to correct the son and the son won't be corrected, if it, verse 20, they shall say to the elders of the city, this is the parents, shall say to the elders of the city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious, he's a glutton and a drunkard, verse 21, then all the men shall take him out and stone him to death. So here's an example of something that is not only not a crime, but frankly is so commonplace that if you take, I mean, this is God required of Israel here. So if you apply that standard to today, you know, we would solve the population problem anyway.
Many would not survive adolescence.
Yes, right. And I was probably one of them.
About a minute here, a couple other things that were required there, and then we'll comment on it here on the other side of the break, less than a minute.
Okay. Another one, kidnapping for selling someone into slavery, kidnap them and sell them into slavery. A whole variety of gross sexual sins, bestiality, homosexuality, adultery, we've already mentioned, having sex outside of marriage, before marriage, and others. Also, the worship of other gods and violating the Sabbath. Disobeying a priest comes in there somewhere as well. That's a passage that pastors particularly, I think, would want to highlight to their members.
All right, now that's a very interesting list of things that for which God prescribed the death penalty in the Old Testament. So you can already see, folks, if you want to take a one-for-one, let's just take the Old Testament laws that were punishable by death and bring them forward into the civil laws of today in whatever state you live, it's going to be a hard case to sell, maybe even to yourself. We'll talk a little bit more about those passages on the other side of the break, and we'll talk about that often mentioned inconsistency that someone says Christians have. You know, you're against the taking of life when it comes to abortion and euthanasia, but you're for it when it comes to the death penalty. What do you think about the death penalty? Give us a call during this break, 1-800-730-2727, or email us at issuesetc@kfuo.org. Everybody who calls in or emails tonight on the death penalty, we'll get a pamphlet titled A Report on Capital Punishment, 1-800-730-2727, or issuesetc@kfuo.org. Those call-in numbers, 1-800-730-2727. More with Dr. David Adams on the death penalty right after this. Christians think of themselves as students of the Scripture, God's Word. Read through the Bible, Old Testament or New Testament. It's full of the names of cities, rivers, mountains, plains. Where were these places? How does a better understanding of the geography of the Holy Land aid Christians as students of Scripture? Our Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for July, is an easy-to-read reference on the geography of Israel. It's called The Land of Milk and Honey. For more information about this book, call Concordia Publishing House any weekday during regular business hours. Their number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or visit our website and find our Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for July, The Land of Milk and Honey, An Introduction to the Geography of Israel. That's issuesetc.org.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
If you're a talk radio junkie like me, you might assume that the programming is free. Commercial advertisers pay for the production costs and staff salaries. Well, that's true for most talk radio shows, but not for Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you to pay the production, salaries, and airtime costs for this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, asking you to prayerfully consider making a financial gift to Issues, Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org. Click on the What's New section. You can donate by credit card, 1-800-737-0172. Or you can donate by check, Issues, Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Remember, unlike other talk radio shows, Issues, Etc. needs your financial support. We depend upon you for the continuation and expansion of Issues, Etc.
If you enjoy listening to Issues Etc. on the weekends, did you know that you can listen to 12 new hours of Issues Etc. each week on the Internet? All you have to do is go to our website, issuesetc.org, click the worldwide KFUO logo, and there you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7, including 12 new programs weekly. The website address again, issuesetc.org.
Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. However, we are not funded by the church body. We're also not affiliated with Lutheran Hour Ministries or the Lutheran Layman's League. Issues Etc. is supported by listeners like you. Please help support this worldwide outreach by making a gift this week. Our address, Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Thanks for your prayerful consideration.
We give thanks for the folks at LCMS World Relief because they are the hands and the feet that allow many people to reach out in charity and love to those who are less fortunate than we.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Arthur Just on the importance of LCMS World Relief.
In the Gospels, Jesus says that he came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. And spending out his life for us on the cross is how he served us. Because Christ is in us, and we embody him in his mercy and love, we are to manifest that in our lives. And LCMS World Relief does exactly that by reaching out with concrete expressions of Christ's love, mercy, and compassion to those who have been broken by storm and tempest, who, for whatever reason, need the kind of love and compassion that is in us because Christ is in us.
For more information or to donate to LCMS World Relief, call them toll-free 1-888-930-4438.
You know, we've kind of turned the corner in the year here, even though the next year is still a ways off. We want you to think constantly about supporting Issues Etc. Talk Radio for the Thinking Christian by making a tax-deductible gift this week. You can donate online at our website, issuesetc.org. You can donate by calling our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172, or you can always donate by check and write us at Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. You might also want to consider joining our monthly donor program, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. To find out about the benefits of becoming an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, or reformer, premiums like monthly tapes, books, and transcripts, just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. We especially need to hear from our listeners on KFAX in the San Francisco Bay Area. And thanks for your prayerful consideration. We're talking about the death penalty. Dr. David Adams is our guest. We'll go to the phones here in just a few minutes. First, let's finish up what we started before the break. You gave us a list of things for which God prescribed the death penalty in ancient Israel. So how does this bear upon our present discussion of Christians' view toward the death penalty in civil society?
Well, I think it takes us back to the point that we were talking, that we touched on a moment ago, and that is the issue behind the issue here is how do we apply what the Old Testament teaches to the life of the church in the world today? God is speaking to Israel, which is both church and state, and God is directing Israel as state, as to what it should do. And if we look at the things for which God requires the death penalty in the Old Testament, we can see that they tend to fall into pretty carefully defined categories. They are all, in one way or another, things that directly threaten the existence of Israel as the people of God, church and state together. Obviously, the taking of life is a fundamental thing, if not curbed, would lead to anarchy and chaos and revenge and ongoing bloodshed. So in order to protect life, God allows civil society to take the life of people who murder, because if not, then you get into vengeance and more life is threatened. The disrespect of parents is, again, a threat to the structure of society, particularly in the ancient world, where parents are part of the extended family. Today, you know, parents often sort of say goodbye to their children when they go away to college, and they, you know, they move out, and the parents go on and live their lives, mm-hmm. and they retire, and they have their own retirement thing, and, you know, the families get together in the holidays, but they don't form the kind of extended interwoven families where there's dependence.
Where the parents would eventually be more or less dependent on their yeah. children's income in time.
Right. So, again, you know, the very fabric of society is at stake here. Similarly with the sexual sins that are mentioned in the Bible, and as I mentioned before, there are a number of them that the Scripture actually prescribes the death penalty for: bestiality, adultery, incest, homosexuality, sex outside of marriage, and rape.
So all of those are have a disintegrating effect on society.
Well, gross sexual sins in general do, mm-hmm. yes. And again, they undermine family, they undermine the human reproductive cycle in terms of maintaining, in its role of maintaining society.
They also seem to fall either generally or specifically within kind of the Magna Carta of ancient Israel, the Ten Commandments, that thing that distinguishes them from all the pagan nations around them.
Yes, that's correct. And the last two that I mentioned certainly fit into that, the not worshiping other gods and the observance of the Sabbath. Both are. So all of these, you're quite right, all of these do reflect commandments that are part of the Ten Commandments.
So to summarize, the death penalty here seems to have a function particular to ancient Israel. God seems to be putting a very special and rather serious emphasis on the fact that Israel as a society functions as more than just state, as opposed to what we have in civil society today.
And let's not forget what's at stake in Israel's life in the Old Testament. It's not simply the survival of Israel as a civil society. Israel is God's instrument to bring the Messiah into the world. So what's at stake in the stability of Israel as a society is God's plan of salvation as well.
All right, very quickly before we go to the break, Christians who favor the death penalty, or who would even say it's permitted by Scripture, are often accused of an inconsistency. And it has to do with Christians' position on another issue that's often debated, and that is abortion or euthanasia life issues. And it's usually stated like this: you Christians are simply inconsistent. You favor the taking of life in the death penalty, but you stand against the taking of life when it comes to abortion or euthanasia. How do you respond?
Well, in some ways, that criticism is earned by those of us who are conservative Christians who support the death penalty, because in large measure we've not done a very good job of articulating our views. We have not taken seriously the fact that the death penalty is the taking of a life, and so we've overlooked passages like Ezekiel 18:32, where God says, "I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked." You know, we sort of, you know, sometimes I've known conservative Christians that I've been around who've, in talking about this, sort of take the attitude, sort of, forgive me here for being verging on being crude, but they sort of seem to have the attitude that, you know, this guy has committed a terrible crime. So, you know, to hell with him and Godspeed, you know, send him on his way as quickly as possible. And that's an attitude that may be merited in the sense that he's committed a heinous crime, but doesn't actually leave the door much open for winning a soul.
But in the best of all possible worlds, is there a fundamental inconsistency between being against abortion, for instance, and supporting the death penalty in one form or another for the Christian?
No, it's not at its fundamental basis inconsistent, because the primary biblical reason for the death penalty is in retribution for taking a life. And the assumption, and I think human experience bears this out, is that people who take a life tend, for the most part, to take more than one life, or can take more than one life. So in this sense, it is that the death penalty is intended to prevent the taking of more life, both to prevent the person who's committed the crime from taking more life, but also to prevent the kind of personal vengeance and vendetta that leads to conflict between families in which many people might get killed.
We're discussing the death penalty this Sunday night, July the 30th, here on Issues Etc. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Let's go to the phones. And in these few minutes before we take our break, let's talk with Frank, who's listening in Indianapolis. Hi, Frank.
Hi, gentlemen. I've got a question here. Didn't Jesus say that if a man would offend a little child, be better off for that man that a big stone was hung around his neck and he's drowned in the sea? And doesn't all this innocent blood on abortion you're talking about, Pastor Todd, innocent blood cry up to God all of the time? And isn't the blood on the hands of our nation when we do nothing about it?
All right, Frank, good questions here. Let's deal with the passage that he put before us here. Jesus talking about if anyone would cause one of these little ones who believes in me to stumble, it would be better for him if a millstone were tied around his neck, he were cast into the depths of the sea. What's Jesus saying, if anything, about the death penalty there?
Well, I looked at this passage during the break because I knew that Frank was going to ask this question. And so I checked the Greek text just to make sure the translation was correct. And the translation as you read it, Todd, was correct. It would be better for him to have a millstone fastened around his neck. Jesus is not prescribing the death penalty here. He's saying, in effect, the punishment for this is so, that God's punishment for this is so severe that it would be better for him to have just died and not committed the sin. That's how seriously God takes the harming of one of his little ones.
Does that apply, picking up on the second part of his question there very briefly, to the innocent blood of those who were aborted in our country and elsewhere?
Well, yes, it does. And that's why I was saying that the issue between the death penalty and abortion is not exactly the same issue, because the death penalty is intended to protect life if it's properly done. It's not intended to take life or inflict punishment. It's intended to protect further life.
Issues Etc. is underwritten in part by Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. They're going to be hosting some great retreats this fall, including a lay leadership retreat and a Christian Vision for Love and Marriage conference. For more information about these retreats, check out our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Their number, area code 260-452-2247, 260-452-2247. More of your phone calls and your email after this break. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Dr. David Adams is our guest. He's Associate Professor of Old Testament at Concordia Seminary here in St. Louis and author of the forthcoming Concordia Commentary on Genesis. We're talking about the death penalty. 10 more minutes in our first hour's conversation on that subject. Everybody who calls or emails gets a copy of this report on the death penalty. It's a pamphlet we're giving away. 1-800-730-2727. Dr. Dean Winthy, president of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, on why a man should consider studying for the pastoral ministry.
It's the most beautiful and wonderful calling to expound the goodness and the grace of God in Christ and to spread the good news of Christ's victory over death. You're carrying eternal good news and the life of Christ through his word, his sacraments. And we welcome any who want to consider the ministry to visit our faculty in action, our worship, because you'll see there the word of a loving and present God who has bestowed all things in Christ.
For more information about Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, call them toll-free 1-800-481-2155 or visit our website, issuesetc.org.
Equipping the Priesthood of All Believers. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Issues, Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues, Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues, Etc. This allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are three levels of giving. The confessor, $25 monthly or an annual gift of $250. The apologist, $50 monthly or an annual gift of $500. And the reformer, $100 monthly or an annual gift of $1,000. Now, each Reformation Club member receives premiums like monthly tapes, books, and transcripts. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club today by making a gift payable to Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. By credit card, our resource line number, 1-800-737-0172, or online, issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Reformation Club. Our guest, Dr. David Adams, spends a lot of time studying the Old Testament. In the course of that, he has to have a pretty fair knowledge. In fact, I imagine it's indispensable that he have a knowledge of the geography of the land of Israel. And if you're like me...
This is going to be a trick question.
No, there's no trick questions here, Dr. Adams. But if you're like me and not an expert in the Old Testament, you often depend on the maps in the back of the Bible to kind of navigate some of that stuff. But that doesn't give you the kind of detail that you may need to properly understand and to have some insight into much of the narrative of Old and New Testament. Our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July is called The Land of Milk and Honey. It's an introduction to the geography of Israel. You can order The Land of Milk and Honey by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or you can browse before you buy by going to our website, issuesetc.org. When you order, mention Issues Etc., and our Book of the Month for July, The Land of Milk and Honey, 1-800-325-3040. Let's go back to the phones in Detroit, listening on WDTK. Mr. T is on the line. Welcome to the show.
God bless you this afternoon, brethren. How are you doing today?
Very well.
Thank you.
There's one crying in the wilderness. I just want to make a few comments and ask a few questions, please.
Yes.
As far as the Old Testament is concerned, I agree with Dr. Adams when he says that it's an issue regarding the land of Israel and the children of Israel. Jesus also said in the New Testament that he came to give life and have for us to have life more abundantly. My next issue, I agree with him about the unfairly and unjustly of the people who have authority, abusing their authority and opposing the death penalty on different people in society, as far as they have issues of monetary or whatever, imposing on the lower status of society. I agree with that totally, because this death penalty is being unjustly administered in this country due to racial or long racial lines, as far as I'm concerned. As far as the people who have less income, whatever, to get the financial, legal finances to support their case or whatever. Well, some people go in the black community going to prison for 18, 19 years for something they found out later on they didn't do.
All right. Mr. T, thank you very much. All right, let's deal with the second issue that he raises, because it is something we haven't touched upon yet, but you mentioned it before, and that is Christians who favor the death penalty, rightly so, should be keenly... I think you said they should be keenly concerned about this being administered in a just manner. And he mentions the fact, and it's undeniable, that in our legal system, if you do have resources, you can find ways around capital punishment by hiring a better lawyer. And that might mean, it might mean that there is, in the cases of capital punishment, a little trouble when it comes to those who lack those resources.
That's exactly right. I don't know that I need to add too much to what you've what you said and to what Mr. T said there. This is a real challenge for those who believe that God does allow the death penalty. And by the way, let me just say, so there's no doubt, I believe that God does allow the state to execute the death penalty, and I believe that it's appropriate for the state to do so in certain circumstances, particularly when the crime is so heinous or the person is likely to commit a similar heinous crime. So that's my own personal position on this. But here's a fact. The death penalty is permanent, right? I mean, you can't undo it once you've done it. And so if you're part of applying the death penalty justly is making sure that the person who committed the crime or who is being punished is the person who actually committed the crime. I know there are tremendous perceptions about injustice with regard to race and economics, and don't claim to be an expert enough to evaluate those claims to find out if they're actually true or not. I've read several studies, some of which argue one side of the argument, some argue the other, and they both produce statistics, and frankly, I don't claim to be able to sort this out. But one thing I am convinced of, as a Christian, when I read the scriptures and when I see what God requires of the king, one of the main functions that God requires of the king is that the king will do justice and will provide justice. And in sort of translating that to my responsibility as a citizen within a democracy, to say that I have to work for genuine justice. This is one of the things that God wants his people to do in the Old Testament. And so I need to do what I must do to make sure that if the death penalty is enforced, that it is enforced justly. That means making sure that there are not inequities so that some people get justice because they can afford to buy it, and those who can't afford to buy it are more likely to be put to death. That is not just, and as Christians, we should not accept that.
Another quick call from our listener in WYL, listening on WYLL in Hazel Crest, Illinois. Kenneth is on the line, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727, or if you prefer the email, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Here's Kenneth on the line. Hi, Kenneth.
Yes, how you doing, sir?
Very well.
How are you feeling?
Just great. What's
God
your question or comment?
Listen, I took some notes from your station. One of the notes was, what the Bible teaches about the death penalty, it is a regrettable necessity.
I said that, yes.
And down here I also have a note, the punishment should not exceed the crime.
Correct. Correct.
And I also have down here, the death penalty should be executed when it is even more considered as taking a greater loss of life.
That's correct. That one of the things that God does care about is protecting life, and part of the purpose of the death penalty is to prevent the further taking of life.
And then what's your question, Kenneth?
Well, my Bible says down here, the severity of the sins indicates that in God's sight, such sins are the deepest dye.
Which sin is that you mean, Kenneth?
Well, taking one's life.
Oh, okay.
Okay, I see what he's saying. Thank you very much for the call, Kenneth. Well, let's deal with some of that list of sins that you were talking about before.
Okay.
Some of them don't seem, say, disrespecting parents.
Right.
And Jesus says, that son can be stoned by the city elders. And someone would say, that punishment is out of proportion with the crime. How does God look at sin when it comes to what is required? I mean, Scripture says the wages of sin is death. Are we all guilty enough to warrant, in God's eyes, the death penalty?
Well, not only are we all guilty enough to warrant the death penalty, we have, in fact, all received the death penalty. You know, the wages of sin is death. And so we all stand under God's death penalty. We are all going to die physically die, unless we happen to still be here when Christ returns. And we will all spiritually die unless we receive the grace that God offers us in Jesus Christ. So we all stand under the death penalty for sin. Ultimately, all of the sins for which the Bible in the Old Testament gives the death penalty are all because of the death penalty for worshiping other gods and disobeying God's word.
Folks, here's our mailing address. It's Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Here's our resource line number, 1-800-737-0172. You can use either of those to receive a free complimentary copy of our next issue's Etc. journal, or you can make a tax-deductible gift. to help support the worldwide outreach of Issues, etc. No gift is too small. The address again, Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117, Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117, or you can call our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. Well, yes, we are all guilty. Guilty of sins deserving death. All sin is a rebellion against God, and it all has as its wage death. Now, in civil society, God permits us to carry out the death penalty and that it be done justly and rightly and fairly. And that is for civil society to do under those rubrics of reason and prudence. Before God, we all stand guilty. And before God, we have but one hope, each and every one of us. Jesus Christ has received from God the wages that we earned by our sin, the death penalty that we have incurred by our crimes against God Himself. Jesus Christ has taken that penalty for us at the cross. And now we stand, believe it or not, acquitted of those very crimes. He is counted guilty, he is punished, and we are acquitted, guilty though we are, and we go free. That's the good news. That's the message that God, who would justly punish a world for its sin, you and me, for our sin, has instead punished the innocent, His Son, Jesus Christ, with death for us. So when you see this Jesus hanging dead on a cross, you know what's taken place there. God's justice has been carried out against a sinful world, and we who were guilty are counted innocent because He who is innocent was counted guilty in our place. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc.
Listen each week to Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. For a free audio copy of this hour of Issues, Etc., please visit the audio archive section at kfuo.org. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of Worldwide KFUO. Issues, Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.